Ricardo asked me to speak on the Church of Laodicea. And I said, sure, I've never preached on the Church of Laodicea, but I've taught on it. And I thought, then I thought to myself, gosh, this is Christmas time. That's not, I feel kind of awkward giving a hard word to all the people that come to church in the time of joy and happiness of Christmas. And I thought, I thought, you know what? I read it through, and the Lord gave me a, put the first slide up, thanks. I am going to take you to a place this morning where the Church of Laodicea will have a word for us today. The Word of God is not just for them, it's for us. Matter of fact, some people think all the churches, the letters to the churches are for a certain church age. But I find truth and life in every letter that I can use today. And so I don't consider myself a Laodicean Christian, and this church is not a Laodicean church. But within the Word of God, you can dig out some really good nuggets, and I'm going to give that to you this morning. Amen. Three most important Christmas presents for 2022. Are you ready? I'm not going to take you to Amazon. We're not going to Walmart. I'm going to try to give you some thoughts that you've never had before. I want to enlarge your thinking. How do we conduct ourselves in a contrary world and stay hot for Jesus? I have choices to make, and this morning I pray that I will give you something that will really benefit you during this season. And for the rest of your life. Matter of fact, I think it becomes more and more important that we learn intentionally how to keep ourselves on fire for God. Amen. Let's go to the first slide. The setting in Laodicea they were a prominent, wealthy church in the part of Asia Minor. I think you all know the churches are there. Laodicea was on the main road between Ephesus and Syria, and they traveled on those roads, and it was actually physically between Philadelphia and Colossae. Okay. So it was a very prosperous city. They had very special land there that really grew. When the sheep grazed there, it made very special wool. And so it was very specialty that they were able to, that made them prosperous there. It was also a financial center. But in spite of Paul's extensive investment, it is known as the lukewarm believers who are preoccupied with prosperity and material wealth. Let's go to the next slide. We live in a very rich, prosperous country. Most people think we have all we need. Our society is full of distractions, pleasure, materialism. The signs of moral decay and godliness are all around. Matter of fact, you could just look at the news on your phone, and there are teasers on there, man. There are teasers on there that say, "Oh, this is so and so." A movie star, you ought to see her now. You know, those are teasers. And you learn not to click on those, because if you click on those, then you'll have five clicks the next day. This is a polluted world, and it's like foxes in the hedges, always wanting to get into our ground. And in the name of Jesus, we will say we're going to keep the foxes out of our garden in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? We're going to have to spot them. We're going to have to command them to leave, take dominion over them, and keep them away. Hallelujah. So we are vulnerable to fall into that quicksand. And the quicksand is all around us. Amen. Let's move to the next one. This is... Something I pray for a lot is that I would live my life as a son of Issachar. That in First Chronicles, it talks about them and that they had an understanding of the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. And the letter to Laodicea is God's timely advice for us today. When you understand the times, you kind of say, okay, then I need to get the assets ready. I need to gird up my loins. I have to get myself ready for the day, what the day requires, what the week requires, what the season of my life is requiring of me. And so you don't have to be a man to be a son of Issachar. All of us ought to have a sense that the times that we're living in are crucial. I have never lived in a time like this. I've never had demands and temptations hit me in my daily walk that like I do today. And I've been saved since the 3rd of April, 1966. And I've seen a lot, but this is a bad situation that we are in. But we know that God will raise up the standard within us. Huh? There is a rumbling inside of us for the Holy Spirit that will meet the challenge that we face. There isn't a challenge that God will put in your path that you will not be able to handle, because the Holy Spirit already knows about it. Holy Spirit already has the provision for you to take care of it. Let's move on. Next slide. In the overall context of the church, we know the Edict of Milan, church started out as like a cult. They thought it was a cult. They thought, well, they tried to be Jewish, but the Jews kicked them out. So then they were treated as a cult. Then they had the fires of Rome with Nero, and they blamed it on the Christian. They were persecuted. They were thrown to the lions. And so they prospered under the difficult circumstances. But in 313, Edict of Milan, Constantine made Christianity legal. And then 1054, we know there was a big split between the East and the West Church from Rome and Constantinople. And that's where the Greek Orthodox Church became, and when Rome became the center for Roman Catholicism. And we understand how things went in the Middle Ages, how things went darker, darker, and darker. And then the turning point happened in 1455 when Gutenberg prints the first Bible. I love the Word of God. The fact that we have, matter of fact, we have more Bibles today than we know what to do with. I like to read a new version every year. I want to keep the word fresh. I want the familiar verses to look different to me so I can get a little more depth of understanding of what I'm reading. But we are blessed with the Bible. But in the Middle Ages, the church was a dark church. There were some notable examples, but exceptions. But it's like the church starts out as a full-orbed moon, full of power, miracles, healings, deliverances, and all the signs and wonders. As Jesus planted it, that's the way it should have stayed that way. But as the moon faded and went part to a partial moon and went to a new moon, that's like the Middle Ages. Well, now the turning point in Gutenberg and now Martin Luther in 1517. He posts his 95 theses on the door of the castle church in Wittenberg, Germany, and that ignites the Reformation, and all of a sudden we have a new world. And so the dark moon begins to come light again, and when Christ comes back, I believe it will be a full-orbed moon again. We are going to have a full, vibrant, miracle-working, healing, deliverances, everything in the church in the last days. Where Mary, Melissa, and I go, the power of God comes on people when we sit next to them in the airplane. I mean, It's amazing how God works with us wherever we go. Whenever we go into restaurants, the Lord is right there to help us minister to the waitress. And then I'll spot a guy, a busboy, and the Lord says, "Give him a $20 tip," and said, "God loves you." I mean, that I can't help that from happening, but that's just a foretaste of what God's going to do. He's going to give us words of knowledge. He's going to give us visions. And we say, "Hey, I just saw you walking in a garden, and you were picking up a tulip, and you gave it to this young man." And she says, oh my God, I love tulips, and I'm about to get engaged. You get a word of knowledge for somebody, and they will realize that God is alive and that you have something eternal to speak to them. Amen. That's the way we ought to live. This next slide. Before I go into the dividing of the church, I want to read the scripture here. Let's all turn to Revelation chapter 3, which is where we're reading. I will read the section about the Laodicean church. Amen. You can turn your Bible here, and those of you online, or you're welcome to get out your Bibles and read with us. So Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, I will read it through, and then we'll comment. "And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." That's why I said, "Oh my gosh, I don't want to deliver that word to the church during Christmas season." But I'm going to turn this around for you. We're going to end up with three Christmas presents. Keep that in mind. Verse 17, "Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And may many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and him with me. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Amen. God bless his word. Hallelujah. Jesus is redemptive in everything he writes to us, every way in which he deals with us. We have to really trust him for that. He could give us the hardest word and yet have it the most crucial, life-giving word in the end. Because why? He does not condemn us. He forewarns us. You know, my mother usually dealt with all my ins and outs and do's and don'ts at home. But when my father said to me, "Bruce, I need to have a sit-down talk with you," I knew something important was about to be shared with me. And one time, my father disciplined me really bad, and I ran upstairs, and I slammed the door and went in my room, and I was really, really, I think I was crying. I mean, I was a young boy at the time. And he came up the stairs, and he sat down with me on the bed, and he said, "Bruce, I know that was a hard correction I just gave you. I just want to give you something." And he handed me a silver dollar. And he says, I want to give this to you so that you'll know that I always love you." And I have that silver dollar to this day. I left Haiti, I decided, well, I better, I don't know if I'm ever going to get back here. I don't know if any of our stuff is going to be left by the time we come back. I asked, you know, Lord, what things should I take that are really important? I don't have much room in my bags. And I said, well, I took that silver dollar. There's always a reason, a redemptive quality to Jesus' words. And we got today, we first of all, trust him that he will never violate the confidence. And when you open your heart, God will never violate that. He will always bless it, always leave you with a blessing. When I was raised in an Episcopalian church and didn't know the Lord, no one in my family knew the Lord. I didn't even hear about being born again. I didn't even hear about that I could have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I didn't even hear the phrase. Can you imagine? But I met a young man in college, and he shared me those things, and I started reading my Bible, and I ended up going down to spring break down in Florida. Who in college, when you're up in Ohio and you want to go on spring break, who doesn't want to go snorkeling in spring break? So I went down, and with him we drove 22 hours from Cleveland down to St. Petersburg, and we had fun. And then Sunday came, we went to church. His parents were Baptist, and I noticed they were different than my family, and they were, they loved the Lord. They talked about the Lord. They prayed. They read the Word and so forth. So at lunchtime on Sunday, the father read the parable of the wheat and the tares. And so I listened to that, and I started eating, and the Lord says to me, see how different they are? They're different than you, aren't they? I said, yeah, they are. He said, yeah, they're the wheat and you're the tare. Gulp. But I ate, and we went to church that evening. And because the Lord faithfully gave me a warning word, I went forward and accepted Christ on the 3rd of April, 1966. And I'm thankful for that. That's one of my favorite parables to this day. That says God will give us a good word. Amen. Let's go. Let's look here. Now, so in that letter, it is God's desire to have us either cold or hot. He does not like lukewarm. I mean, when I sit down to dinner, I like cold watermelon and I like hot soup. And you all have your favorite things. A hot dog, a cold hot dog just doesn't make it. I just, yeah. Toast, I like toast butter with a butter melted and warm. And you all have your thing. So you understand what that is. God's the same way. And I am, my life is about pleasing him. It was about a couple months ago. I told Mary Melissa, I said, honey, God just told me my life is not about me. It's about what God's going to do in me and through me. That's my whole life is about that. That's it, baby. What am I going to in me and through me for my family and for the world? Amen? And that's what's really important. So he wants to split the church. And so I see God doing something in America I've never seen before. Presbyterian Church separated from of America, separated from the Presbyterian Church of the United States. Because opposition to the long-developing theological liberalism that denied the deity of Christ and the inerrancy of Scripture. Now, can you imagine a mainline denomination saying that Jesus is not God and that Scripture is not the authority for our walk of life? Now, that is worth separating for, and I applaud. I say, good, praise God, let them separate. Let the cold go cold. Let the hot get hotter. Amen? And we can say, now watch. Now, in April 2009, the official split of the Episcopalian Church, they no longer believe in the historic Orthodox Christian faith common to all believers. That is the matter of there is no faithful, the idea that you want to be faithful to the Lordship of Jesus was denied, okay? And of course, you know, they ordained a gay priest, and that instigated the split, okay? So what I see, and you can see this with me, God is using the issues of LGBTQ question mark and abortion and gay marriage. He's using that to split the church. And I'll say, he is splitting the cold from the hot. He's allowing what's a subterranean in the hearts of many liberal people to come to the surface so that it can be dealt with, so there can be a dividing. Amen? And so we see this happening in that denomination. And just this recently, it's been in the news, the Methodist Church, it's been brewing for a long time. I mean, we've been watching it because we were in a charismatic Methodist church in Dallas, Texas during the 80s. And it says April 22, that's this year, breakaway global Methodist church has finally got exasperated by the liberal church's defiance of bans on same-sex marriage and the ordination of gay clergy. Would you believe the Methodist Church missionary department sowed a lot of seeds into Africa and around the world when they were conservative? Then those people grew up, maintained the faith, and now they are calling the mother church heretical because they have forsaken the doctrines of John Wesley. This is mind-blowing. I mean, this is momentous. We see this happening, and what God is doing is creating the Pentecostal. Let's go to the next slide. We have the Pentecostal movement in you know, the turn of the century of 1900. We've had the charismatic removal. We've had the Jesus movement. We've had the prophetic. We have wonderful things happening, and God is birthing more on the hot side while the cold people, lukewarm people, are leaving and going cold. So we're seeing this happen right before our eyes. And I say yes and amen, Lord. You prophesied it. Matter of fact, it's to your pleasure so that we can be separated. Now, when we have the Holy Spirit within us, that Holy Spirit always is telling us, I'm called out, I'm separate, I'm apart from the world, I have no part of all of this, I'm different, I'm a called out one. That's what Ecclesiastes means. We are called out ones, we are called to be separate. That is the spirit of holiness. Be thankful that the Lord is telling you, hey, you're different. I'm peculiar and I'm proud of it. That's right. Amen. So, God is doing a wonderful thing in rebirthing, and the churches that we were creating are networked, like Restoration Church, by relationship for strength, for covering, for guidance, for wisdom. Yeah, but they're not creating new denominations these days. The last thing we need is another denomination. So we have disruption. All the disruptions that's gone down, it's happened. Lockdowns, government upright, digital media is revolutionizing how we communicate, how we talk, how we relate. New challenges, how churches maintain fellowship, discipleship, evangelism, and missions. And I say, hold fast to that which is good. There's no substitute for face-to-face discipleship. One-on-one mentoring. There are many of you that I hope you're mentoring somebody, or you're speaking into somebody's life, whether it's your neighbors or someone in your class or someone in your club or something like that. But all of us ought to be finding certain people one-on-one to relate to. Separation between liberal and conservative believers, that's happening. Biblical beliefs are being assaulted by public policy. There's so many examples in the news, I don't want to go into it because it can get depressing. But they're trying to corner us, they're trying to marginalize us, and to make us feel like we're the odd man out. That's okay, you know. So? So? All right. So, all the trends are pointing toward more spiritual warfare for us, okay? We need to quote Psalm 91 more often. We need to restudy Ephesians 6 about the warfare. I'll recite a prayer that Mary and Melissa and I pray every day, okay? I'm not going to do the whole because I name a whole bunch of people, including... I said, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I bind and break every negative confession, pronouncement, curse, or assignment of the enemy against me or my family. And I loose all the blessings of Abraham through Jesus Christ upon myself, Mary Melissa, Jeremy, Laura, Kirsten, and all my key people in our lives, which are a lot. That's just for starters. That's how... We were living in Haiti when we started praying like that, because we would hear tap tap on the gates at night, and then we would hear the voodoo drums, and I said, hey, we got to put a stop to this. We got to wake up and just clear the air. And so, but you know, it's not too different than that here in America. So we live in a hostile environment, requires us to contend for the faith, for spiritual growth, and obeying God's call. The word contend is more valuable to me today than it has ever been. I used to think that, oh, we get all the promises of God by grace, I have this or that, and I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, and da-da-da, I got this and that and everything. Yeah, that's all true. That's all the promise. But you have to contend for everything. Contend. It's yours, and the enemy will try to take it away, but you have to contend for it, to keep it. It's mine. You know. He's preparing us to rule. We're going to rule and reign for him. This is all training ground. God's a master. He's a master mentor. What we learn here and now, we're going to use for eternity. This is the most exciting mentorship program you could be in. Yeah, we're all in the school of the Holy Spirit all the time. Amen. So, listen to the next slide. So, what does Jesus say? All right. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Because you are lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, I've needed nothing, but I know you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Okay. Now, I was trained originally as an engineer, and I love math, and so I look at my spiritual growth as a graph. And I got born again, and my graph took off, all right? All of a sudden, I'm on the positive side. I'm born again. I have spiritual life. I'm in the family. I'm adopted. Glory to God. I started reading my Bible, all right? Now, I was smoking. I had a smoking problem. It took 3 years for God to deliver me of it. But he baptized me in the Holy Ghost, and I haven't had a puff since. Praise the Lord. But there are times, you know, you like to think it's all nice and smooth, but it's not. It's like this, all right? What you don't want is for it to plateau. I'll say, you don't want to plateau. That's lukewarm, all right? You want, and then something else will happen all of a sudden, and then all of a sudden you'll come up and you start growing and pressing in. Is there any end to the growth of the curve? No. Jesus, the righteousness that I'm seeking, being Christ-like, is way up here. I got a long way to go. But I'm pressing toward the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's go to the next slide there. Now, he says to me, go buy three things. All right? This is the good part, everybody. Gold refined in the fire so you may be truly rich. God wants us to be rich. This is true abundant living. All right? I'm not talking about Cadillacs. I'm talking about gold. Now, it's not earthly gold either. We'll get to that. White garments so you may be clothed. God does not want us to walk with any shame. He despised the shame, took it from us. He paid the price for your shame. If you have any shame issues, it's time to get rid of it because it'll hold you back. Right? It's a time to unload things. To stop from plateauing, you unload things. It's like being in a balloon. You're going to go higher, start throwing out the cargo. All right? Anything that holds you back. And the Holy Spirit will be faithful to point it out to you. All right? If he told me I was a tear, anything he tells me from there on, man, is fine. It'll be good to my good. So, white garments and eye salve to anoint our eyes so that you may truly see. Amen. So I read that. If you're like me, you say, well, how do I buy something from God? First of all, it's from God. It's not an earthly thing. These are not earthly things. You don't earn things from God. You don't buy things from God like we think of money. All right? So what kind of currency do we use? This is a very important question. What is the currency of heaven? Huh? We're going to hold on. Next slide. Do we buy these things with money? No, it does not work. Forget it. Faith is the currency of heaven. It's the currency of the kingdom of God. If you study the way the epistles are, the writers of the epistles say, I am ministering that your faith in God will be increase. They minister to increase your faith. Every time I share, I always want to share and reveal the faithful character of God because I want you to have more faith in Him as a person. You cannot have more faith then he has revealed his character to you. Why does it all start with intimacy? Why does it all start with relationship? Because as he reveals himself to you, you have more, you have the power, the ability to know him better and to trust him more and to believe for more. I'll give you an example. I think it's the next slide. Oh, okay. Hold on. I'm going to back up one slide. Can you back up one slide? There we go. Okay, hold on. I was reading recently. Now, this is like a little growth step that I happened. I mean, I've been a Christian a long time, but, that's something I had not seen. I was just reading in my devotions in Psalm 27, okay? And David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Okay? And I started reading it, and the Lord says, stop. He's talking about something he's seen. And you were singing about it this morning. I liked it. And I said, and he said, he wants to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's because he's seen the beauty of the Lord. And he said to me, Bruce, you don't talk about the beauty of the Lord, do you? I said, no. He said, that's because you haven't seen it. Not like I want to reveal it to you. Huh? So I said, Lord, show. I'm ready, Lord. And I have seen more beauty of the Lord. It's not just the sunsets. I know Mary Melissa loves the sunsets, and she loves all of them. I mean, she's always talking about how beautiful everything is. I said, now, that's all wonderful, and I do that, and I've been by the seashore, and I love God. I love the outdoors, and I love worshiping the Lord in that environment. But in his presence, he revealed his beauty. He's the most beautiful being. He's worthy of emulation. There isn't anything imperfect. He's so good, I want to be like him. And let that be the magnet that draws you in. The Bible says, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of your waterspouts. There is a waterspout for the Holy Spirit that is calling each one of us to a deeper revelation of him so that our faith will be increased. We'll need it. Amen. So next slide. So how do we, this is Christmas time. We got time. I ran across a new book called 1440. I don't know if you've all heard about that. It's by some I don't even know the guy's name. He's on YouTube. Okay. But it just so happens that every day contains 1440 minutes. 12 times 12. 12 hours, you know, anyway. All right? 1440. So every day God deposits into your account 1440 minutes. Hallelujah. You get to spend it. You get to use it. Hallelujah. Question is, how do you use it? Right. Now, typical man in America, you know, he gets up in the morning, he works all day, he spends most of his time getting money. Nothing wrong with that? No. It's good to have a job. It's good to have a company. It's good to do all that. But if you do that at the exclusion of the other type of currency, you are in grave trouble. We need to think about, how am I going to divide my time today to get the currency of the earth or the currency of heaven? Am I going to increase my money or am I going to increase my faith? When I sit down and read my Bible every time I get up in the morning and have devotions or sing and pray with my wife, I am investing time and I am building up my faith. You're coming to church today. God bless you. You're doing the right thing. You're going to end up with more faith at the end of the day than the service than you had when you came. If not, you can give me a hard word, okay? Hallelujah. Ever increasing faith. Hallelujah. The currency of the world or the currency of heaven. So, let's move on. Let's go to the next slide. What about gold? It is a symbol of God's righteousness. When you want to understand the symbolism and what it means, you go elsewhere in the Bible, right? And you learn what it means, and it's explained in other places. So gold is God's righteousness. How do I know that? Because in the Old Testament tabernacle, the boards, which are symbolic of believers in the house of God sitting in sockets of silver, which is redemption, the boards are made of wood, humanity, and covered with gold. And you are a board standing on silver redemption ground covered with the righteousness of Christ. And you're part of a building that houses the glory of God. That is who you are. Amen. So gold is God's righteousness, and the candlestick, which is a symbol of the vine and the branches, and Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches, is made of pure, beaten gold. I'm not going to focus on the beaten part. That will come. But we are pure gold, and we're beaten together. We're tempered together. We're going to go through a lot, but that's okay. We are taught by Scripture to prepare ourselves for the time to come. We prepare our heart and our will ahead for the decisions that are going to be required of us in the future. And I am asking you to increase your ante. Increase your ante what it costs you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Say, yes, Lord, you're so beautiful, I'll do anything. All right? But it's like playing a poker game, and I never was good at poker. I could never keep a straight face. You know, in times to increase your end. Are you going to stay in the game? You got to increase the end. Right. All right. So God's righteousness. A person becomes overlaid with gold. Make every effort for it to help people to be born again. Notice that to buy gold, it needs to be refined in the fire. That it means pure gold. That means be a soul winner. Unashamedly. You know. Let's move on. We got to make sure we're saved and that our family is saved and that everybody that we have that contagiousness in our life that always wins people to be gold. White garments are explained later in Revelation by the marriage supper of the Lamb. It says, her wife has made herself ready. That's the bride of Christ. It was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now, there's a whole doctrine about imputed righteousness and empirical lived-out righteousness. We understand that before Jesus, we are totally pure. We have the righteousness of Christ. We can boldly come before him in prayer. You say amen? We also know that we got a long way to go to become exactly like Christ. But we're pressing on, right? And we're becoming more like him. But the fact that we are in a process of ever-increasing godliness means that we are wearing white garments because that's what God has given us, and we are wearing them partially by faith, but we are pressing in to be more like him. Amen, all the time. Isaiah, he's clothed me with garments of salvation, covered me with a robe of righteousness. Amen. And we are ready for it. We are to be ready for the rapture. I don't care. To be honest, I believe in the rapture, and I believe for the best, and I'm preparing for the worst. Do you understand what I mean? If we go through the tribulation, okay, God knows. He understands. I mean, he knows what's best. Are you ready? But I believe in the rapture, so I'm believing for the best. So I'm gonna go with the white garments, and I'm ready. But I am ready for the rapture. Why do we confess our sins when we take the Lord's Supper? Every time I am receiving of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus, I receive an impartation by faith. Every time I take the elements, and Lord, that is what I want to do. I want to be more like you. Okay? Anything in my life, Lord, that's hindering me, I want to get rid of it today. And then so we all feel wonderful. Right after communion, man, let the rapture happen. Hallelujah. All right. Next slide. I was really interested. You put on your eyes so you can see. I'm not talking about going to Target. There's a new thing I learned about Systane. I don't ever heard of it, but anyway, it's something you put on your eyes so you can see real good. Or if you need to have dry eye and you need to have a lot of drops in your life. We're not talking about that. We're talking about eternal spiritual things, spiritual vision. Now, what I saw here, that was my experience in Psalm 27. All right, let's go to the next slide. Now, this to me, I saw a linkage here that's really good. Paul has one of the most wonderful prayers in Ephesians chapter 1, and I realized that prayer is the prayer, a hunger prayer for Isaiah. Now, I want you to read this with me. This is so cool. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and that is the exceeding greatness of his power. Oh, Lord, I pray, I hunger. That's my favorite hunger prayers. So to buy these things, just major in hunger prayers. Lord, I just want to be more like you. Lord, I just want to press in. I want to obey you. If there's anything, just help the things, the weights to drop off. Lord, I want to press into you and to my calling, and I want to be a faithful servant. Amen. Every one of you have I look at you. I mean, I'm a missionary. I go overseas, but they call me a missionary. But I believe everybody's a missionary if they're born again, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, Christian. Oh, Bruce, that's pretty excessive. That's a pretty strong statement. Yeah. If you are saved and you're being led by the Holy Spirit and you're being led to be where you are, whether it's school, work, change clubs, whatever, you are called where you are and you're a light where you are, and where you are is your mission field. Go for it. Press in. Press into what you're doing. And if you feel, oh, that's not me. No, I'm not. Then you know you're in the wrong place. Then it's time. Okay. Then, Lord, you'll bear witness if I'm in the wrong place, and get me out of this place where I can truly say to you, Lord, yes, I'm where you want me to be, and I'm doing what you called me to be, and I'm pressing in with a higher degree of obedience than ever before. We all have that chance. We all have that choice. Amen. So that's Paul's prayer for ISAF. All right, next. So we want to buy three things. No money. It's Christmas. We can spend faith. Let's spend our faith. Let's use it. That's the most precious thing. You buy the most precious things with your faith. You can't buy with money. You don't need, the only contact you need is Jesus, right? They're personal, only to purchase from God. They're bought with faith. But it also takes time and effort. Faith without works is dead. We have to walk in it. We have to press into it. We have to walk it out. And we have to be willing to make mistakes. And if it, you know, we know, my God, this didn't work. And Mary Melissa and I were, hey, what's happened with Haiti, man? I can't, here I am renting a place down there. We got all these plans to invest in a new generation like Ricardo's doing. And we can't even live there. Okay, Lord, this is a big surprise. And he tells us, Bruce, do you think this is a surprise to me? No. Things are getting worse in Haiti, Lord. We're worse and worse and worse. And they said, yeah. That means just a bigger miracle. Is that too hard for me? I'm believing for a miracle. Just as God says, time to increase the ante. I'm having to increase the ante. When you've slept in 20 beds in the last 3 months, you're increasing the ante. It's not fun. Hallelujah. So, let's not be afraid of this verse. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. So, I really want you this morning to be conscious of the currency of earth is money, but that your mind be occupied as much with the currency of heaven. More, as much as we're always preoccupied with, you know, money and this and that and the inflation and all these things. We have to take an assessment of the world around us and what is requiring us in the area of faith. It is time where God is going to reward supernatural faith. He's given you the spirit of faith. He's given you the power of choice, and he's given you time. We have time. We have choice, and we have everything going for us. Let's buy these three. Let's major on these three Christmas presents this Christmas. Merry Christmas.